Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of God. Now, the theme for this morning's message is, Christian, you are a new creature. Therefore, put off the old and put on the new. Now, some people have said that the greatest miracle in life is not life itself. It is not watching beautiful sunsets or necessarily thinking about the planets and all the constellations and the miracle of, you know, all these different kinds of life that God has created in the, on the earth. Or even when you see a new baby being born, that all is in itself wonderful. And God has done all these things. God has created life, as we know. But that is not the greatest miracle in life. The greatest miracle in life is taking someone that is vile and corrupt and dead spiritually and immoral and evil, and changing that person, that woman or that man or that child, into the image of Christ in holiness and righteousness. That is the greatest miracle. Why do I say that? Because by nature we are dead spiritually, and all the things that you see on earth will fade away. This world will be rolled up as a scroll. But if you are a new creature in Christ, you will live forever. You will live forever in the new heavens and new earth. And the greatest miracle is for you to get new desires, to get a new heart, for your stony heart to be taken out, and that you have a heart of flesh, the desire continually what is good, what is right, what is holy, and what is righteous. Because that doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. We are born in sin. So the greatest miracle is the new birth, is the new creation, is basically regeneration. And no human being on the planet can create that except God, which is not a human. Well, Jesus is a human, man and God at the same time. But it is God's prerogative alone to make the dead alive, spiritually speaking. God has the prerogative to do that. He has the sole right. He has the only power to make evil people good, to make dead people alive. And as Leonard Ravenhill, the preacher, said, the greatest miracle is to take an unholy man or woman out of this world and make him holy, and then put this holy man or woman back into this unholy world and to keep him holy. That is the greatest miracle. And that is what God does through regeneration. That is why Jesus came to this earth. That is why Christians were created, you can say, so that we would be holy living in this world. That is exactly what God accomplishes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus Christ left his throne and came to this earth, to make dead people alive and to make evil, depraved, wicked sinners like you and I good, righteous, so that we can have holy affections that pleases God. So in the book of Ephesians, in the first three chapters, when we start in the beginning of the year, we saw the salvation of God being unpacked. God elected His people. He adopted His people through His Son. He redeemed His people through Jesus Christ. He gives them an inheritance that is unfading, unperishable. He gives them the Holy Spirit. And then He regenerates them. He regenerates them, makes them alive, and reconciles them to Himself through Jesus Christ, through the cross. That is all the blessings of God that He gives to His church. We saw that in chapter 1 to chapter 3. God gives us redemption, reconciliation, and He creates a new race, a new humanity. There's only two races, the fallen race and the new race. Whatever people tell you, there's only two races. It's the fallen race in Adam and the new humanity, the new race in Christ. And that race, or that humanity, consists of all different ethnic groups across the world. God has purposed, God has planned to gather people from all the nations, all the ethnic groups, into one new humanity who is reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that is what we saw in chapter 1 and 2 in Ephesians. In chapter 3, Paul says that gospel has been entrusted to the church, to him, to the apostles, to the early church, but then to all of the church throughout the generations. And then in chapter 3, he prays, God, give us power, give us love to run with this gospel, to spread this gospel throughout the earth. That's the first three chapters. Chapter 4, last time, we looked at Paul starting to say, now you have to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling. And chapter 4 and 5, my next five messages, is going to be about how to live a life that is worthy of the calling to which God has called us to. That is what chapter 4, 5, and 6 is all about. It's living the life, living the Christian life, walking in a manner that is worthy of our calling. And we call that in theology sanctification. We call that sanctification. And basically you will see that sanctification has two principles. You will see that throughout chapter 4 and 5. In Ephesians you see that in the other letters of Paul as well. Two principles. It is basically mortification, putting off, put to death, mortification, and vivification. It's a fancy theological word which means to put on the new, to put off and to put on. Mortification, vivification. Putting off the old and putting on the new. That is what living the Christian life is all about. Right, so that we're going to look at that today and the following messages in Ephesians. So the four points I want to look at is, first of all, do not walk as the Gentiles do. Secondly, you have received truth, revelation. Thirdly, put off the old self, put on the new self. That is basic, very easy to remember. Put off the old, put on the new. That is what Christianity, living the Christian life, is all about. So let's look at verse 17. It says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. So first of all, Paul begins to say that believers should not live as the Gentiles live. And the reason for that is because the Gentiles are futile in their thinking. Their thinking is futile. Another word for futile is meaningless, useless. The Gentiles' thinking is useless. It comes to nothing. It is meaningless. Why? Because it's always fixated on temporal things. You see, the Gentiles, unbelievers, those who are not Christians, are always thinking about money. That is their God. They are materialistic. You see, their God is not the God of the Bible. Their God is self. Their God is self and money. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 as well. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Cannot. You will be devoted to the one. You will despise the other one. So the Gentiles are fixated on things that they can see. They are futile in their thinking. Money is their God. And like other passages in Scripture say, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. Because those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. This world and its form will pass away. You have to realize this. As Christians, we are going to a better country. We're going to a place where there's no corruption. We're going to go to a place where there's no theft, where there's no immorality, impurity. There's nothing of that. It's a place of perfect righteousness and holiness. We should be heavenly minded as Christians. So Paul firstly says, do not walk like the Gentiles, because they are futile in their thinking. They're always thinking their treasure is on earth. Well, remember what Jesus said, do not lay up treasures on earth where thieves break in and steal. Remember that? Your treasure should be in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. But the unbelievers, their treasure is on earth. You must realize that. That therefore, their thinking is futile. It comes to nothing. It will perish because the world and its form will perish. So Paul instructs and commands the Christians in Ephesus, where they serve the god Diana. If you go through the book of Acts, that's the god that they served there. There was a big uproar because of the Christians there, and they wanted to. They had a big uproar because many people became Christians in Ephesus, and many of the people lost their way of income because there was a big revenue coming in from the idols that they sold to the great goddess of Diana, and so that was the context. But all those things are basically fading away. Paul instructs and commands the Christians in Ephesus to live differently. Do not walk any longer as the Gentiles do, because their minds are busy with useless, meaningless things. Now that doesn't mean we cannot buy things and we cannot have homes, obviously, and we should buy food and clothes. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have a job and have a career. It doesn't mean, Paul makes the point clear in 1 Corinthians 7, that we should use the world but not abuse it. We are in the world but not of the world, right? So we need money to survive, yes. But your mind should not be fixated on those things. It should be focused on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So yes, we live in this world. We buy things. We have homes. We have children we have to care for and so on. All those things are important. But we should not be materialistic. Mammon should not be our God. So that's the first thing. Do not walk any longer as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. Due to the hardness of heart. So verse 18 characterizes the ungodly, the Gentiles. This verse describes unbelievers 2 centuries ago, and it still describes unbelievers in the 21st century. Now, when you hear of women crying and moaning and rioting in the cities of the US because they cannot murder their babies, then you realize people are alienated from the life of God. They are darkened in their understanding. If people want to fight to kill their own children, then you know they are alienated from the life of God. That is not. If people want to kill and assassinate Supreme Court judges because they are pro-life, then you realize there's something wrong with society. There's something wrong. People's minds are darkened. In the month of June, we had Pride Month. And all over the companies, you see the rainbow. They have so-called taken over the rainbow, which is actually a Christian thing. It's a promise of God. But they've done this. Pride Month, we went through the airports of the US, Atlanta, and other places, all over the places, in your face. In your face. The advertisements where biblical marriage is being scorned. And perversion, homosexuality, transgenderism, the whole LGBTQ people are forced on people. Are forced. And you have to accept them. You have to bow down to their God. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That too, people said that you must bow down to that image. This is what's happening in society. We must bow down to this false gospel that's coming into the church. They want churches to recognize homosexual marriages. It's coming into churches all over the world. It's a false gospel. And when you realize that people are fighting to normalize evil, then you realize people's minds are being darkened. They are alienated from the life of God. These things have happened in the past, in Sodom, in the Greek and the Roman empires. God judged those nations and those cities severely. Because everybody knows that there's only two genders, man and woman. It is obvious. It's a biological fact. Now, if somebody, a Supreme Court judge, says, "No, I'm not a biologist. I cannot define a woman. I don't know what a woman is." Then you realize society has gone mad. They've gone mad. If you don't realize there are only two genders in society, something is wrong with your mind. But you see, society has gone mad. The people are alienated from the life of God. Their understanding is being darkened because of the ignorance of them. Because in public schools, they have been, through decades after decade after decade, they have been taught that we come from monkeys. Even in public schools in South Africa, they teach that we come from monkeys. And that evolution is true. That there's no creator God. What do you expect? What you see in society today is because people have been brainwashed. There's ignorance in them. They have no knowledge of God, no knowledge of the Bible. And it's because of the hardness of their own hearts. They've given themselves over to all kinds of evil. And that's the next verse. Verse 19. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Isn't that what's happening today? Isn't it? That's what's happening today. People are greedy to give themselves over to every kind of perversion under the sun. That's what's happening. And this text, literally, it says that people... If it says they have become callous, basically it says they are not ashamed at all of anything that they do anymore. They're not ashamed. The things that they should be ashamed of, they parade in public. That's what's happening, isn't it? And that's the mind of the unbeliever. They have become callous. They have no shame whatsoever. And they have given themselves up to sensuality. What is sensuality? It's basically... according to few dictionaries, sexual immorality. Extreme sexual immorality. It's more than that. Basically, living to please your senses. What you can see. This world, materialism. But especially sexual perversion. That is what's going on. And this happened in Paul's day. You see, people gave themselves up to sensuality. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And this, unfortunately, this is happening in South Africa as well. And I'm not aware exactly what's happening in the public schools today. But I remember a while ago, they were introducing comprehensive sexual education in schools. That's what's happening. I don't know exactly what's happening now. But not all schools are like that. But basically, it is promoting what is evil, what God calls evil. You must understand that. And that has been coming into the schools. They call it comprehensive sexual education. I don't think, me personally, I don't think it's safe to put your child in a public school. Unless you know, in that school, this is what they teach. They teach biblical morals and a biblical worldview. Your child is not safe in the public schools, not only in South Africa. It's all over the world because these things are being promoted. So the world has a form and they want Christians to acknowledge and approve what is evil. That is what's happening. So we must be very careful as Christians where you put your children, your grandchildren. You must be very careful. You must find out in that school where your child is going, what do they actually teach? Do they actually teach a boy should be a boy, a girl should be a girl? You should know what they actually teach. I would not send my child to a school where I don't know they teach actually a biblical worldview. It's not safe. But this is the world. Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, do not walk like the Gentiles walk, because they are futile in their understanding. They have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. This is what's happening. Number two, but you have received truth. Verse 20, but this is not the way that you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. See what Paul is saying? This is not the way that you learned Christ. So what is the difference between unbelievers and Christians? What are the main differences? The only difference is this. You've received truth. God has revealed himself to you. And you know the holy and righteous way. You know the Ten Commandments. God has revealed himself to you through the scriptures. And unless God revealed himself to you through the scriptures, you would do exactly the same as unbelievers. You will bow down to their gods of materialism and LGBTQ nonsense. You will bow down to those idols as well, unless you have received revelation from God. And you have received revelation from God. The gospel has been revealed. And as the Ephesians knew, they heard verse 21. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. You see, that makes the difference. There are millions of people that do not have a Bible. They've never been taught the gospel. They have not received the truth as it is in Jesus. And if you have not received the truth as it is in Jesus, you will give yourself up to all kinds of impurities. That's what will happen to you. So the only difference is grace. If somebody, God sent people into your life and has explained to you the holy way of Jesus, the righteous way of Jesus, and that's why you are different. That's the only reason. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, 27 says, no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. The only difference is revelation. And revelation doesn't depend on you. That's what chapter 3 about. That's what chapter 3 is about. Ephesians chapter 3. God revealed himself to Paul, didn't he? When he was going to Damascus and he saw Jesus and he changed his whole life. And that's the only reason why you will not indulge in sexual immorality and all kinds of impurities. It's because of revelation. That's the only reason. You see, Paul's eyes have been opened. His eyes were opened. His ears heard. And Christian, that's the same applies to us. The only reason why we are different from the world is because somebody came and preached the gospel to you. Somebody preached the gospel to you. Maybe you heard it on the internet. Maybe you listened to sermons. Maybe you sat in a church. That's the reason why you are different. You heard the truth. You heard the truth. There was a gospel preacher coming your way. You read the Bible. Maybe opened the Bible. That's how I was saved. I just started reading the Bible. And after a month, I was so convicted of my sins. All I wanted to do is cry out for mercy. Because I knew I was a sinner. A sinner. That's the only reason. You see, as the scriptures tell us, unless the word comes into your life, there's no hope for a person. Because the word is the imperishable seed that affects regeneration, the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1:23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. That's how you are changed. Through the word coming into your mind, dropping to your heart, and changing you from within. That's the only way anybody gets saved. Through the word being accepted. When a gospel preacher comes, or when you read the scriptures and hear the word. So what made the Ephesians different is this. They heard about Jesus. Somebody preached, Paul preached to them. And they heard, they were taught, they learned, as the scriptures say. They received light, truth, as it is in Jesus. As it is in Jesus. Because if it's not in Jesus, it will not benefit you. The scriptures are about Jesus. The word is about Jesus. You heard the truth as it is in Jesus. That's what makes the difference. As John chapter 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 8:36, and you shall know the Son, and the Son shall set you free. That's the only difference. You see, the world is ignorant, they're in darkness, and they need the light. And that's what makes the difference. You have received truth. And if you have received the truth, and if you have received this revelation, don't trample on this truth, but let it transform your life. Let the power of the word transform you, that you do not walk and live as the Gentiles. It's not enough to hear the word. The word must transform your life. You must take it into your heart that it transforms you. Next point, number 3, put off the old self. Ephesians chapter 4:22 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So in the beginning of this message, I said, the Christian life consists of two things, mortification and vivification. Putting off, putting on. Putting off the old, putting on the new. So, even though Christians are justified by grace, we still live in the flesh. We still live in this body, and you still carry with you the old man. The old man. The old self. But now, first of all, we have to understand is that what Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says, as a Christian, you have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died, you died. He took you with him to the cross. This is a very important thing to understand in the Christian life. You cannot progress in the Christian life unless you know when Jesus died, you died with him. Your old man was crucified 2,000 years ago with him. You are in Christ. What happened to Christ happened to him. Or what happened to him happened to you. So that's the first thing that you understand. When I looked at the tense of this text, to put off the old self, it's not an imperative. It is not a command, although it is implied, to put off the old self. It is actually in the past tense, and it is an infinitive form, middle voice, which basically means to put off the old self is something that has already happened in the past. And that's exactly what the scriptures reveal in other portions of scripture. It is your old man has already been crucified when Jesus died. You are already a new person. The old man has been dealt with. And that's the first thing that you have to understand. You cannot put off the old man unless you're a Christian. You cannot. Because you will have no power. You will have no, the Holy Spirit will not be within you. You will have no power whatsoever to fight the flesh. None, it will always win against you. So when Jesus was crucified, you were crucified with him. So you, in other words, you have a new identity as a Christian. You have a new identity. You're a new person. You're a new creation. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The old man has died. You are not to be known for as a thief or a liar or an adulterer or this or that. That's not who you are. That's the old man. He has been put away. Even though as a Christian you struggle with the old man. The old man and his desires, they pop up all the time. You always have to put him down. He always wants to control your life. The old man is still there. Yes. The desire, evil desires pop up all the time. But you have to put him down, you see. You have to put to death the old man. So in this text it says to put off your old self, because he's already been dealt with, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So also through other texts in scripture, Galatians, Romans, Romans 7, Galatians 5, we see that there's a battle. In the Christian life, there's a battle because between the flesh and the spirit, the old man, the new man, the old self and the new self, there's a battle. You know that you're a Christian if you experience the battle. If you're an unbeliever, you have no battle because you've given yourself over to evil. There's no battle. But if you're a Christian, there's a battle. And this battle is real. It is daily. And that's why Jesus said, anyone who wants to come after, he must deny himself. He must deny himself. He must deny himself, take up his cross and follow Jesus. That is the essence of the Christian life, self-denial. That's what John Calvin also said. John Calvin said, the essence of the Christian life is to say no to the old man. Just to deny the self. Because the old man always wants to take control. And you have to deny him daily. Deny him daily. Put him off. Put him to death. Put him off. The old desires. He must be put off. Paul says here, the old man is corrupt through deceitful desires. Deceitful desires. So, you cannot renovate the old man. You cannot enhance the old man. The old man should be put away. And that is what Christian life is all about. You must put away the old desires, the deceitful desires. Paul calls it deceitful because they are lying to you. The desires of the old man that you are struggling with as a Christian, they are lying to you. They are telling you that you will be happy if you are famous. Try to be famous. Try to be popular. You will be happy, but you will not be happy. You will not bring satisfaction. You will be happy if you give vent to your sexual impulses. You will be happy. You will not be happy. They are deceiving you. They are deceitful desires. You see, idolatry is the same thing. If you have money, if you want to be rich, you will be really a happy man if you... Oh, if you're a millionaire, if you're a billionaire, if you make a lot of money, you'll be a happy person. They are deceitful. Because when you get all those things, you will find you're not happy. You see, they are deceitful. The old man and his desires are lying to you. They are corrupt. You cannot enhance them. You must deny them. You must put them off. That's what Paul is saying. To put off the old self. That is basic Christianity. Putting off, putting on. They are deceitful. They are lying to you. Some people think, you know, somebody has done something wrong to me and I have a grudge. And some people, they think, I'm going to get them back. I have revenge. And you think that is going to make you happy if you actually get them back. That will not make you happy. That grudge, that hatred, That jealousy will not make you happy. They are deceitful. You must forgive. Whoever wronged you, you must forgive. You must let it go. You must let it go. It's deceitful. Those desires are deceitful. You must put those things off. Lust, greed, pride, all those things. Those desires are deceitful. You must put off the old man. You cannot better the old man. You must be put off. You must put on the new self. Verse 23 and verse 24. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there are the two pillars. Putting off, putting on. Mortification, vivification. But even in this text, when it says, we must put on the new self, it says there, the new self is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, it's already created. And if you look at the tense there, it's also in the past tense. To put on the new and to be renewed is in the passive voice, which means it's something that happens to you. You see, you did not recreate yourself. It is the Holy Spirit, as a Christian, who made you alive, who recreated you, who made you a new person. You are a new creation. All things have passed away, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. So, you must put on that is already there, that God has created. That's basically what it means. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. Put on the new self. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this is how it happens. This new self, this new man, was created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness, he's already been created. You have been regenerated as a Christian. You're a new person. You have new desires, new likes, new dreams, new hates, new loves. You're a new person if you're a Christian. You have been recreated by God. Now put him on. How? To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is through the mind that you put on. You have to remind yourself who you are already in Christ. You're a new person. You're justified. You're a king of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a priest unto God. You have a new identity. You have to put on the new man, the new person. If you look at the tense in the Greek as well, it's in the past tense. It's in the passive voice. It is something that has already been created by God, by a sovereign act of God. You were not involved in that. God recreated you as a Christian, and now you have to put on what he has created. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So how do you do that? How are you renewed in the spirit of your mind? And I think Romans, that's why we read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. How are Christians renewed? How do we put on the new? Basically, it's through the mind, the renewal of the mind, the spirit of the mind. It is using the means of grace. The word of God, preaching, praying, fellowshipping with Christian, encouraging one another. It is through the word. You have to understand that. You will not be renewed unless your mind is involved in exposing yourself to the truth of the word of God. You will not be changed. It is you put on the new man and you are renewed through your mind being active and submitting to the truth of the word of God. That's how you are being renewed. And that's how you put on the new man. Now, in my next message, we're going to look further on in Ephesians. He lists about 10 examples. What to put on, what to put off. What to put on, what to put off. But where do you get that? You get it in Scripture. You only know how to do that unless... you only know how to do that if you read Scripture. You know what to put off and what to put on if you read Scripture. But like I said, You cannot put on what is not there. Unbeliever can try to put on the new self. It's not going to work. Because the flesh will just basically dominate everything. All the evil desires. So that's why I said in the beginning, the biggest miracle is the new birth. And the biggest miracle in this life is for somebody to be regenerated, to get a new heart. A heart that desires holiness, righteousness, truth, goodness, and God Himself. If you cannot create that, you cannot produce that. No preacher can produce that. Only God can do that. So we preach and we share the gospel so that people, so the word will do the work. I'm reminded of a story of, it's a kind of a fable, but you will get the point. There was once two men and they went to a restaurant. And while they were at this restaurant, they saw the waiter coming to them. And the one man said, "There's something different about this waiter." And he said to the man, "You know, I cannot put my finger on it, but there's something different about this waiter. I think this waiter is a cat." And the other man said, "No, you're ridiculous. Look, this waiter, he walks on two legs. He talks to us. He serves. But the other man said, "No, you're mistaken. I'm sure this waiter is a cat. I think I saw his tail, actually. I think I saw his tail." The man said, "It's absurd. I don't believe you." So the other man said, "I will prove it to you." He went out and he caught a mouse and he brought it into the restaurant. He said, "I'm going to prove to you that that waiter is something different about this waiter." And when the waiter came, he threw the mouse. And all of a sudden, this waiter jumped upon one of the table, and from the one table to the other, he chased after the mouse like a cat. And he was actually revealed to be a cat. I know it's a fable, but why do I tell you this story? You see, some people are in the church and they talk Christianese. They have all the talk. They walk like a Christian. They talk like a Christian. Everything is Christian. But once that mouse is revealed, you will go back to what he actually is. You cannot fool God. Unless you have a new nature, a new principle within, a new heart. Once that temptation comes, it will be so strong you will never be able to resist it if you're not a new creature. And that's why I say, that's what this text actually is revealing as well. You cannot put off, and you cannot put on the new man, and you cannot put off the old man unless you are born again, unless you are a new creation. And that's the greatest miracle of all. So I want to encourage you, if you suspect that you are not a new creature, run to Jesus Christ. Let the truth transform you. Read the Bible. Sit under the means of grace until you know you have a new heart. You have new desires. But if you're a Christian today, I want to encourage you. Do not live like the world. You have been called with a holy calling. You should not live like the world. You should be different. You have received revelation from God. You have received the truth as it is in Jesus. Therefore, put off the old, put on the new. You are called to the heavenly kingdom. May God help you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Grant us the power by the Holy Spirit, Father, to put off the old man, to put off what is evil within us, and to put on the new man, created after the image of you, Father, in true righteousness and holiness. And may we be people that pursue righteousness, holiness, truth, goodness, and God in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen.